So, to each and every one of you, a very warm welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time. We have 90 minutes together. Big thank you to Marnie, to Sangha Live, for very kindly inviting me to spend this time with you. With the period of time, it's for 90 minutes, 30 minutes. Guided meditation on the theme. Secondly, a teaching, a talk on the theme. Thirdly, a question and answer period. And Marnie mentioned just a few words about dana, meaning donation, to give support to Sangha Live and the teacher. And I'll mention that to you after the talk. But first, let's get underway. Power matters. Responsible, caring, loving power really matters. What we are faced with outwardly and sometimes inwardly is the abuse of power, the exploitation via power, the anger, the blame, the control, the domination, the discrimination, being for and being against, and much, much more. It is easy to witness this misunderstanding of the nature of power, and the outcome of that. It easily affects our views, our perceptions, our relationship to life. I'll mention in the talk the Buddha's teachings, of course, on this. There is much reference to power in the text. I'm going to take three or four examples with you. But the best way, and as Sangha Live has done probably since its inception, is to begin with practice. Practice takes priority. So in this period, around 25 minutes or so, it will fall into two areas. Power of the heart, power of the mind, and I'll endeavor to distinguish a little between the two. So the meditation is a guided meditation. There will be a reflection theme running through it with you. So lend an ear. Firstly is the posture. Posture itself is a form of quiet empowerment when we sit tall and upright. So let's sit tall and upright, whether, like myself, you're sitting on a chair, using a stool, cross-legged, indoors, outdoors. I'm going to close my eyes, and your eyes can be closed, open, half open. Let's begin. So we are sitting. Human beings. Creatures of the earth. Women, men, and other. We experience a day-to-day life. We have this remarkable potential to know ourselves well and deeply. This requires meditation upon, reflection upon. We have an interest in what we feel. An interest to develop the heart. So we have a core question to ask ourselves. Am I committed, really committed, to developing my heart? To empowering the heart. What are the ways to confirm, to make explicit an ongoing development of the power of the heart? This requires a profound interest. A priority for the application of our energy. A significant expression of our dedication to developing the power of the heart reveals itself through expressions of love. And the diversity of expressions of love, kindness, friendship, service, sharing, romantic love, compassion, non-reactivity, keeping one's peace, and expression and commitment to love reveals itself in the diversity of ways supported with our unwavering motivation. The daily opportunities to reveal love such as respect for ourselves, behavior, diet, health, posture, exercise, the way we view ourselves, the way we think about ourselves, and in a very similar way, outwardly to others, to creatures, to the natural world. So we consciously cultivate, develop, evolve. Through the recognition of love, placing it, so to speak, in the very center of consciousness. And learn to handle the challenges on this love. The power of the mind . It also equally requires tremendous dedication . What are we prepared to develop and give priority to and also let go of to develop the power of the mind? The mind includes knowledge. What is worth knowing? What is worth letting go of, dispensing with in our daily life, or the superficialities? The tedium of relentless information pouring into our mind. The suffocating numbness of it all. So we give ourselves the opportunity. What is worth knowing? What is the knowledge? What will give it the opportunity to go deep? What wise and healthy views can emerge out of it? We have the power to say yes to valuable, supportive, ethical, caring knowledge. Do we have the power to abide in silence, in the silence of the mind, so we don't slip and slide into the trivial, the irrelevant, the indecisive? thus providing the potential for wisdom, that unification, that integration. Of a healthy heart and clear seeing mind. And the powerful contribution it makes in this troubled world. What do you talk about? What do you read? What do you listen to? What do you think about? These teachings and practices emphasize the application of power, our capacity to take bold steps, with a trust in love and knowing well. Make every day count. Don't waste your life on the trivial. Let's liberate as much love and wisdom, the heart and mind, into this world as possible. Okay, thank you for lending an ear. Just gonna have a sip of the water here. All right. Excuse me. So, a talk on the theme as mentioned earlier, we hear a great deal about power. The tendency can be to transfer, in a way, power to the external world, those rotten and corrupt institutions that we constantly have to endure listening to. The abuse of behaviour, which is justified and supported with all sorts of reasoning. But if we extend too much authority to the neglect of loving power or wise power or spiritual power, call it what you will, it gradually dissipates our power as a human being. Transfer it there, it's a transference from here. That means you, that means me. So some of this exploration is a recovery. Not to give so much power to the other, whether known to us, or the organization, or the business, or the religion, or the institution, or the politics, whatever. To really look very carefully of where there is the transference of the power. Because when we do, there'll be two typical responses. And both of them are hopeless. So one is the feeling of helplessness. That's transference. It's a nightmare of transference, in fact. What can you do? I can't do anything. They've got all the power. They are running things. It's hopeless. All of this is powerlessness. Kind of voice of despair, I would call it. But that's been going on for too long. Time to stop. And the other, I've got an itchy cough. When I talk, it gets more itchy. The other is being reactive. The reactive can come out aggression, blame, fault-finding, putting down, slagging off. So transferred the power, we react, and we see through the blind spot of the anger. We see through the manifestations in the present of the old unresolved stuff. So be very mindful, to use that buzzword, with regard to feeling of helplessness or the various forms of blind reactivity. And if we can wisely conserve the power, we might feel emboldened. We will feel emboldened to find our voice, that we can speak up, we can protest, offer a different view of things, and our trust in the love and in the knowledge and the combination of the two called wisdom, our trust in it can go so deep for us that we put aside needing the approval of others, even more than that, actually, putting aside needing our own mind's approval of ourselves for what we do. And so we're not living in this fictional world of low self-esteem and self-importance. It's all a fiction. Up and down on that scale is hopeless. So that we explore our relationship to power. It's really precious. It requires the integration of heart and mind. We give dedication to it on the daily basis. We will face the challenges of it. But something in the being says, whoa, this is valid. This is authentic. So one reflection. Here, let me just pick up the glasses. Have another hit of the water. So, the Buddha in relationship to power, the word is iddhi. Those of you who know the Sanskrit word, siddhis. These are often referred to in some of the tradition, not with the Buddha, in terms of incredible miraculous powers, walking through walls, walking on water, and all the other distractions. And more important is that four primary areas, and this is where some encouragement here for you. One is awareness. So with the guided meditation, to, if I may say, to take a small example, we say, whoa, heart and mind, obviously, clearly important. So important, in fact, that our development of both can be a wonderful resource for all of us. So what do I need to be aware of? Which would include in that, what are the changes, subtle or big, which will really contribute to the heart's development? Kindness, love, appreciative joy, compassion, care, sensitivity, respect, kindness, generosity. To really, it's not in order to be a good person, by the way, it's nothing to do with it. It's an empowerment of the whole being to liberate something, not about you and me being good, no point, to liberate something precious out of the being there. Another area is meditation. I'm not saying this just because I'm a meditation teacher, by the way. Mind you, it might be a bit of an influence. When I think of meditation, various ways, one of them is time for solitude, some time for aloneness, stillness, just being, and connecting with that. That can be done in its formal practice. Some of you have been on retreats, meditate at home. It's a genuinely valuable contribution. But it's a meditation sometimes on just being silent and still, being alone. You can be alone in the coffee shop. You can be alone in the nature. You can be alone in your room. And in that aloneness there, And in the quiet stillness of it, there is an opportunity to listen to heart and mind. What's the whisper? What's the nourishment? So our meditations are a silence and a stillness. It may have some method and technique, or may not. It's not so important, the method and technique. And secondly, in the silence and stillness, when we are rather still, we can then engage in a quiet reflection. Well, what are fresh ways to cultivate kindness and love? What would be a bold step today? What would it be to do something new or write something new or something fresh, which I have not done before? Now, to put those three together, awareness, meditations, might be on the bus going to work, it might be indoors, sitting under a tree or whatever, reflection, all of that requires energy. Power requires energy. So it is the bringing together of the awareness, meditations, reflections, and energy. And then we explore, we experiment. We go with our being and we say, okay, I've got today. What will show the love today? And what will show wisdom? What will show non-reactivity and more? Sometimes, with the non-reactivity, as a feature of clarity, we need to know ourselves well. And what that means is love gets inhibited, overshadowed, when we feel stuck, indecisive, reactive, in a don't know mind, don't know what to do mind. So you say, well, if I'm to liberate the love, I do need to be aware of what gets in the way of it. And what gets in the way of it, we address, we reflect on it, we bring some energy of interest to it, we meditate on it, we talk about it, we share with others, etc. So that there is the potential then to move away from, or to dissolve rather, that which obstructs, to free up the love. It's not for you and me to feel good about ourselves. It's completely irrelevant. It's to free up something. And therefore, there's a sense, it's not a kind of self-comfort, me and my approach to things. It's a movement of the being to allow something to free up because we're so interested and we're so dedicated and there's something genuinely authentic about it. And that's what we wish to stay true to. Sometimes, I'll give you an example. Quite recently, I received a phone call. The person was standing outside the front of a hospital. Person I've known for some time, years, decades actually. And he said, I've just received some terrible news. I've just been diagnosed a few minutes ago with lung cancer. And it's inoperable. Something to have to hear this. understandably, it easily can trigger fear, high levels of stress, sleeplessness, acute anxiety, and more. And the person needs the voice. This is the voice of the other. Because the person is going to need love, the power of the love, to give nourishment to the being, to help them find a way through some very, in a way, shocking, unexpected news. And that calls upon us with any important conversation, as the Buddha gave this regular reminder, to engage in some reflection. What will contribute to oneself handling a challenging situation? What will one say to another? I was sitting in the coffee shop. I live in Totnes. We have a lot of coffee shops. I go to the, I call it the Church for the Holy Latte, oat latte. And right at the next table, there were four people talking together. And rather sadly, the man's wife had walked out. Hurtful, painful, bitterly disappointed, or whatever. And the three people around, in a sincere way, trying to give some support. So I go to that next table. I couldn't hear but listen. Couldn't help but listen. Yeah. Barely any questions were asked to the man in such distress. No reflections back on what he actually said. No inquiry taking place with all the love that's required. And the tendency, teachers have this tendency, by the way, and others, is to offer some prescription. Oh, you should, you must, never mind, you know, life goes on, you know, all these rhetoric there. What do we say? This is the love with the prior reflection on issues that we attend to. What shows a fresh, original way of engagement? The probability is, if we haven't meditated on that, haven't reflected on that, haven't inquired into that, haven't explored a different kind of knowledge about, we're just going to repeat what our conditioning says, which will probably be similar to lots of other conditioning. So it's quite an undertaking to give time to reflection and meditation, to find, to dig deep into the being, respect the silence, and to dig and see what comes out, which is deeper. And in the deeper, it tends to be more fresh. It tends to be, the feeling is something original. And that interest in that is going to change this world with all of its ghastly suffering. It's that deep. It's that important. There are some, coming back to situations there, where we as human beings, in this finding of the power of heart and mind, are willing to express the voice, written or spoken, or through action, and to repeat the earlier point, to actually kind of transcend ourselves and transcend, in a way, the opinions of others who wish to hold us back. And there's something about liberating in which even our own mind and the thought that can go with it, it's your wise duty to take no notice of it. So when the old mind comes in, oh, I can't do this, I'm not very good, I'm not ready, and I haven't gone very deep, and who am I to do anything, all those situations. You can spend, well, money for a start, but ages working on why one is like that, going right back to Adam and Eve, if you like. But it's a waste. Our challenge is, in spite of ourselves, we act. In spite of ourselves, we initiate something. So even sometimes our old mind, our everyday mind, might be holding us back. And we haven't resolved and understood why it's holding us back, but sod it, we don't take any notice of it. We just respond because there's something true and authentic. And the heart, this body of teachings, is not dependent on how I feel. Feeling has a little whisper of influence. What am I doing for time? Oh, not bad. Has a little whisper of influence with the heart. But please, please, do not transfer power to what you feel or what you think. Please take care with this. It's the wrong direction, if I may say. So what I mean by that, there may be feelings, sensations, feeling experience, feeling tones going on. And if I listen to the feelings, I won't act. The feelings are nervous. The feelings are hesitant. The feelings are, I can't do this, or whatever. All these little subtle feelings going on, maybe strong. But power does not depend on the feelings. It doesn't require feelings for the action. And there are plenty of times, and do remember them, when you've acted, you have said something, you have done something, you've responded, and there was a holding back. You didn't want to sound reactive or indecisive or unsure, etc. All those kind of holding back. And in spite of that, you acted. All credit to you. This is called power. And you know that in the action, and sometimes in the non-action, the power of not doing because it's problematic, not doing because it's reactive, In either case, there is a quiet power there. And this power is not self-created, and certainly not created by the other. Heart and mind, love and knowledge, is an extraordinary preciousness. And we find this in a whole variety of areas. And what I find, and certainly can be helpful and supportive, to look back and in the past, reflect on figures in the present, who in a whole variety of ways, in a way may embody the theme this evening, the liberation of heart and mind, the liberation of love and wisdom. And let's learn. Let those people be our teachers, our gurus. Let's see what encouraged them, what nourished them. What did they say? And the validity of that, and some of us with the passage of years, we have no idea of the small seeds that we plant. We have no idea of what we do will have any lasting benefit or make any difference, big or small. And in the best of our being, we don't care. It's not the priority that things should work out due to our love and wisdom or whatever. We just stay true to the principle. Really true. And that's part of that power. And we have the day-to-days of life for this exploration. So do keep your precious eyes and ears open from meetings with people, from podcasts, from reading, from sharing and listening, and allowing it to touch deep enough that we actually experience the benefit. And therefore, a whole fresh relationship to what power is about. That's the voice for the evening. So let's have a couple of quiet minutes together in the silence, and I'll just go to the next period with you. Sangha Live, bless it, offers the international community, the network, anyone, anywhere, all over the place, diversity, you can just look down at the screen for that. And the preciousness of it is that it's an invitation. Sign in. You lend an ear, hopefully for the 90-minute period, and possibly out of that some response, some authentic benefit. It stays with you in the days, and it's all offered as a gift. It's an expression of love. This willingness to approach in this way is a different model, obviously, from the payment for services model, which plenty of people use, so forth. But it gives a sense of a gift. Dana, donation, also means a gift. The act of generosity. And with love, there is a trust in the love. And the trust is that the kindness and generosity of you will give support to all the outgoings that the lovely team at Sangha Live, and the meetings, and cooperation, and helping to make these things happen, that the income from your gift will allow, enable it to continue in this way. So, something precious about it. And people outside of Sangha Live and elsewhere really appreciate. It's quite touching. There's something valid about it when people say, well, how much is it going to cost? I bet it's a lot of money. No, no. It's on donation. It's on gift. It's on love. It's on trust. Wow, is it? Wow, that's really interesting to know. Wow. I might just join one Sunday evening or whatever. So that's the spirit of it. It sends out nice vibes, if you want to play. And then there, of course, there is the teacher, Christopher. So again, with the period of time with you, your support helps with all the daily costs, not only supporting Christopher, but the granddaughter who's right above my head, upstairs in the loft. There, who goes to the nearby school, and all the variety of projects and initiatives and all the outgoing expenses. So in a very practical and real way, your kindness and support for myself is also much appreciated as well. And always with the understanding, both the Sangha Live and myself, that which is given is to be used respectfully, mindfully, on the necessities. That's the principle of receiving with the Dharma. So there'll be some reference, I think, at the end, and do, if you wish, make a donation and a huge hug and thank you on behalf of Sangha Live and myself. All right, so there's a couple of questions here. And I'm going to click on the Ask a Question button. So I'll take the first two questions. Others are very welcome to ask. I am struggling with, pardon me, too much aloneness. All right. The feeling tone inside the being can genuinely miss the sharings and the communications with others for all sorts of countless ways and means that that might happen. There might be ways and means to take some steps to change that. From Facebook groups with a similar interest, to checking out, if it's possible, what's happening in your local area, to a little bit more outreach. The love and the aloneness, in a way, we are not alone, in a way. It's not easy to recognize this, but what I mean by that is sky above, earth below, and the countless number of things which surround us, rather still present in our life. And it's the antidote to loneliness or separation is in the recognition and appreciation and appreciative moments which occur to you during the day. And to really cultivate that from what your eyes, ears, nose, tongue tell you, because we are with the sights and the sounds of the world day in and day out. So one is the outreach, and secondly is the application of the senses to give some encouragement to appreciation. There, a friend emailed me, and a relative, young, was in the last days of life. And a family member said to her, in so many words, what words would you like to leave us? And the person said, remember gratitude and take care with the body. These are the two things to remember. And I read this and I thought it was such a precious statement, such a beautiful teaching, that may we all remember what we are grateful for, what we appreciate, and taking care with the physical life. All right, next question. Thank you, Christopher, for your precious talk. You talked about the expressions of love. What do you think about a relationship which is stressed by a self-destructive tendency of one of the partners, alcohol, drugs? Is it an expression of love to stay and try to save the love? This is a fairly regular issue in the varieties of formations of relationships. In a way, if you don't mind with a little repetition again, though at times when the pressure is on, the alcohol, the drugs, or whatever the addiction or problem is, our mind, with the impact of it, finds itself in the dilemma or conflict of choice. Shall I stay or shall I go? Is it an expression of love to stay and try to save the love? Is it an expression of love to step out of, to protect myself, and offer from another way? In a way, the conflict, do I stay or do I go, in a way, is not where the resolution is. In plenty of cases, there are some cases where it's obviously, and quite decisive. So what that means is, where there is habit and addiction of the other, it may be very difficult for the partner to be able to offer the guidance and the love towards the resolution, because it requires some motivation and intention of the person with the issues to actually wish to respond. So therefore, one gives the love. There is no guarantee of a response to it, but it is important to listen, and maybe the moment may arise when the person expresses some need for some change. Something comes through. They know they need to change. And if it's possible, you have ready and prepared who the person could talk to. You do everything possible to have these resources at name, phone number, email address, what kind of counselor, therapy, or whatever, really ready at hand to catch the moment, maybe brief, when the person really has the wish for change. And therefore, the seeing of staying and going is not based on either or and conflict. It's based on the wisdom of the situation. It isn't easy. All right, thank you. I find it very difficult. Let me put the glasses on here, though it's in good size print, I must say. I find it very difficult to access an inner sense of power, as the challenges of our times seem so overwhelming. It is as if there was an inner voice saying, in times of climate disaster and war, it's useless to aim for anything at all. I'm aware that this is a self-defeating thought that increases the feeling of helplessness, but find it difficult to have a sense of perspective when I experience the future as barren. Yeah, you're right. So, once again, this issue is an epidemic, but it only contributes to the issue. War and environmental destruction. So, there is the perception of the situation. There is a lot of absorption of the horror stories. Out of that, it feels useless to act. And when the thought comes about the future, it also acts as a strategy for paralysis. Oh dear. So if that's the case, it's either, do I want to believe in this as the absolute truth? Have I settled into making my mind up? This is how things really, really are. Am I interested in coming out of this deluge of views, this swamp that one is sunk into, and find a radical, fresh alternative? If one can't find it oneself, for goodness sake, do please go and find those who are not intimidated by environmental destruction, loss of species, war, the obscenity of greed, the violence of humans upon each other, creatures and the natural world, and find human beings who are simply not going to submit to that. And find out what gives them the extra energy, the power, and the awareness, and the authority. And the second, when a person, as I say, it's an epidemic, who's living with this view of life as a generality, it easily becomes blind, misses all the beautiful things of life as well. Goodness me. The arts, the music, the nature, the creatures, human beings, the play, the warmth, the caring, the compassion, and much, much more. Much, much to be discovered. And therefore, keep your eyes open for that. Say that this view is a defeatist view. It's killing your spirit. Leans towards giving up. You're not going to put up with that in your feelings and in your thoughts. And from this evening onwards, you're going to change all of that without being blind at all to what's going on in this world. Not giving it the power, as I said before. All right. Let me have a run down the line. Ah, Miley, she's looking after the movement. Thank you. It seems to me that trust and authenticity are important ingredients in the cultivation of the type of power that you described. If this is true, it is true. Could you say something about this? Many thanks. All right. So, we'll take the trust first and the authenticity. And 100% with this one here, very, really good point. There are conditions called ingredients here, nice word. There are conditions here which contribute to making something happen. Not the end result, to repeat, but to make something happen. And that requires a trust. It's not a trust in myself and what I've done and who I am, blah, 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 blah. It is a trust in the power of the action. It is a trust in the expression. The self, the ego, the I and the mind doesn't have to come into it. In fact, better if it doesn't. And authenticity kind of really a word which I kind of love because of the root meaning here. Authenticity, author, authority. Authentic, authority, author, all has the same significance in the deep meaning. It means to make something happen. How am I doing for time? a few minutes here, to make something happen. And our trust and authenticity in the being through the cultivation recognizes the importance of the ingredients. And so a person may say to herself or himself or other, where are there any ingredients that I really need to be aware of, to be mindful of? And may I encourage that? What would show trust? What would be a sense of an authentic statement? And all of that then supports the power. And thank you for the excellent reminder there. Good one. Right, sip on the water here. How are we doing? 7 or 8 minutes yet. A reflection. How to be of help. We will have to let go of thoughts of what might people, neighbors, friends think if they see me communicating with a person that doesn't fit in the image of me. Judgments and prejudices are hindrances sometimes for me to help. Nowadays, though, I don't care too much, but it's there. I can hear it from within. Yeah. So there are people that we know, or just getting to know, and certain others have a voice. It could be they see and are judgmental, or they are prejudiced. That means they already made up their mind before they even saw the person. Prejudgment, prejudice. And we are rather vulnerable to the impressions that others have of us. But the impressions, the image, same thing, is not the real. Just an impression. And it is terribly easy in our vulnerability to validate a prejudice, an image, as if it was the real. A picture of the Himalayas is not the Himalayas. An image that somebody has of us, just an image. But sometimes we've got the world almost the wrong way round, meaning the recognition of the wrong way round, meaning recognition or the identification with the image. But is the word nimitta. Wow, the spell of images. What happened to reality living in this way? But as the person here points out, nowadays, though, I don't care too much, but it's there. Good spirit. So some reflection. What contributed to the image that others have of you or of a person you know? What contributed to you not caring? Because if we care, it's going to kill the human spirit. It's going to squash our voice. We're just going to end up trying to please everybody. Life is no holiday. We've got to meet it there. So one is the reflection and what contributed to the change. And the other, frankly, it doesn't matter if the image is still lurking around inside you. Doesn't matter. As long as you are clear, it's just an image. I'm not going to make my responses to situations by living in an image or dependent on an image or seeking of approval or whatever. And it might just be that the image inside sticks around for ages and ages, that means decades, but also it might just fade. And you can get on with your life in the real world and not in this pathetic substitute reality called living in images. All right. Thank you for the contributions. I'm peering over at the watch here. Okay. I often struggle with indecisiveness. Can you speak more about how to use power to make a decision? I'm not a fan of choices, by the way. I think it's a bit of a social construction. So what I mean by that is, develop the power, many ways, heart, mind, many things we touched upon this evening. Have trust. Recognize the authenticity of it. And it might be that in its development, decisions called, shall I do this, shall I do that, that which is a kind of fragmentation in the mind and rather tiring as well, that your quiet empowerment would give the sense, I'm not making many decisions in my life, one. Two, I'm also not being pushed around by my indecisiveness. Three, I'm not being pushed around just by my tendencies and just going with one or going with the other. None of those are helpful. So I'm going to lower the importance of decisions in my life. I'm going to allow the whole being to develop this exploration of the unification of the whole being, the harmony of the whole being, including heart, mind. And out of that can come actions. So sometimes, I'll go to the personal for the moment. I've had the privilege, which I love, of offering, leading, co-leading yatras, pilgrimages. Over about around 30 of them in various countries, England, Wales, France, Germany, and elsewhere. And the thought arose, enough, time to step back from the world of the pilgrimages, the yatras. But I knew the pointlessness of thinking about it, because then it would be, oh, decide this, shall I or shan't I, what's good to keep it going, and reasons to not do it, etc. So the thought was there, it was acknowledged, and because of the blessing of some time and space, silence and stillness and aloneness, just wait. And after a few weeks, from the deep, came enough is enough. And to step back from. So it came, I'm just using it as an example here, without the pressure, and just allow something to kind of, the seed to nourish and come to fruition, and then enough. Thank you. Okay. So non-decision may be a very good support for the resolution of a situation if you have the privilege of aloneness and some time and space for some quietitude. There. Let's not get so stressed with decision making. All right, everybody. 2 minutes passed. Let's have a quiet minute together. May all beings fully engage with life. May all beings liberate what is deep and precious in the human being. May all beings explore an expansive way of being. Thank you very, very much, each and every one of you. Lovely questions. Privileged to have the opportunity to respond to them. And are there any final words from Marnie? All quiet.
No, we are good. Thank you so much, Christopher.
All right. Thank you. Bye.